Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, August 27th. San Diego's crown jewel, Balboa Park, needs roughly $1 billion in repairs. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The San Diego Commission on Police Practices is proposing new restrictions in an effort to promote bias-free policing in traffic stops. Firstly, the commission is asking to end stops solely based on minor equipment or administrative violations. This includes things like tints or registration that's been expired less than a year, among others. The commission would also like to see an end to stops based on status or generalized factors. This includes not extending a stop due to something like prior criminal history. The full list of recommendations was sent to the San Diego Police Department on Monday. A proposal looking to ensure that city-owned beach and bay parking lots remain free for city residents is one step closer to becoming a reality. It was unanimously approved by the city's Rules Committee. Council member Kent Lee is on the committee.
I mean, I do know our neighbors north of us certainly charge for beach parking, and the state certainly does at all of its state lots. And I just point that out because, I mean, again, I also respect the value of the access for county residents, but it's a little ironic to me when our county neighbors in other cities are charging our residents to park at their beaches, but we would never be allowed to do the same thing.
The proposal now goes to the full city council, who will weigh in on it at a later date. The San Diego Padres ownership group continues to grow. Bus Sports Capital has joined the group. It's an investment group founded by former Los Angeles Laker execs Joey and Jesse Buss. The brothers told ESPN yesterday that they will join the Padres advisory board. ESPN reports their ownership stake is somewhere around 5%. This comes shortly after five of the Buss siblings voted to sell their remaining stake in the LA Lakers and right in the middle of the Padres' current postseason push. A playoff berth this year would mark the first time in Padres history that they've made the postseason three seasons in a row. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. Balboa Park is known as the crown jewel of San Diego, but after years of deferred maintenance issues, city officials estimate the park needs nearly $1 billion in repairs. Investigative reporter Greg Moran first covered the story for our newsroom partner, iNewsSource. I spoke with him earlier this week. What are some of the ways we're seeing Balboa Park's infrastructure start to slip a little bit?
I think in two ways. One is in the buildings in the park, you see just a lot of sort of basic maintenance, paint, window repair, things like that, and some bigger issues with foundations and roofs and so forth. And then there's kind of things you don't see, but sort of the systems in the building, HVAC, plumbing, water, things like that. All those add up. The other way, I think, is just in the grounds itself. You know, there are the trails through the park need some work. They need, you know, some clearing, some cleaning, some better marking. The gardens in the park, some of them look a little worse for wear than others, even though there's a lot of effort into maintaining them. And then, you know, just kind of walking around the park. The sidewalks are crumbling in places. The curbs are kind of tricky to negotiate, things like that.
Absolutely. How did we get here? How did the park's maintenance issue become so dire?
Well, it's a story that really built up over years, I mean, decades, really. There has been a consistent neglect of the needs of the park, not out of any malice, but out of some policy decisions and some constraints that the city has had over the years. But it's something that's built up over many years. It's not one administration or one person or things like that. It is a collective kick the can down the road kind of thing for at least 20 years, 30 years, maybe more.
In your reporting, you mentioned how paid parking, the impact that it has as far as going back towards the park. What's going to happen without that extra revenue stream? What's going to happen without that extra money?
Well, it'll go back to, or it'll return to what it was before, is that the park, the maintenance of the park and the running of the park, which is it, the city owns the park, will come out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. And as we all know from the recent budget cycle, the general fund is very challenged and very constrained.
As I worked my way through your piece, you mentioned another park that gets it almost has an exact revenue stream coming from it. Can you talk to me about that a little bit?
It's a great question, because the other park is Mission Bay Park, the beautiful water park on the coast. You know, Mission Bay Park has its own revenue stream. It's a different kind of park because the things in there are really commercially oriented, hotels, businesses, restaurants, all like that. They throw off a lot of cash, $30 to $40 million a year in lease payments and other things that they get to the city. The city takes a chunk of that money, but a percentage of it, I think about a third, stays in the park. It goes into a fund. That fund grows over time, and when it is time to do things in Mission Bay Park, they can tap that fund and do what they want. There have been some great improvements in Mission Bay Park over the last 10 years, all coming from that money. Balboa Park is not that kind of a park. I mean, you have museums, you have cultural places, you have clubs, you have organizations, you have a few commercial entities, but not much. In addition, a city policy says that nonprofit cultural institutions across the city, but that are on city property, like they are in Balboa Park, don't have to pay rent or a lease payment. They do some maintenance, the city does the rest. So it's really the challenge is finding a way to kind of monetize Balboa Park without, you know, without destroying what makes Balboa Park Balboa Park.
Absolutely. What are some of the other options on the table to help Balboa build its own revenue stream?
Well, after paid parking, I think people are a little bit bruised about that, so there's nothing kind of going on right now. But there are things people have talked about. For instance, the Botanical Building, which was just remodeled, beautiful job, $28 million. That's now a real central attractive part of the park. You could do events or things there, you know, meetings or whatever it will be, charge for those to an extent, and that money can theoretically, I would think, I'm not a policy guy, but could stay in the park. So if you think of things like that, that could be done, again, without really destroying the character of the park, that's one way to do it. But I don't see at this point anybody really kind of scheming out another way to kind of charge money in Balboa Park. I think everybody's kind of, you know, touched the oven on that one, and they don't want to do it again.
I think it's interesting because if we went out on the street and we said, "Do you like Balboa Park?" they would say, "Oh, I love it. I'm obsessed." And they say, "Do you want to pay to keep it that way?" Then the conversation kind of takes a turn.
Well, that's exactly true. And we, in our reporting, we had our documentary reporters go out, and they heard that a lot, you know, that people love it. And you saw that in the debate over paid parking. People love Balboa Park, but they don't want to pay to go to Balboa Park.
That was iNews Source reporter Greg Moran. A heat advisory remains in effect through the end of the week. Education reporter Katie Anastas says San Diego Unified has safety plans in place to help students stay cool.
During heat waves like this one, district leaders say schools might limit or reschedule recess and other physical activity.
All activities, depending on the weather, can be modified, rescheduled, relocated, or even shortened.
Jennifer Alfonso manages nursing and wellness in the district. She says staff are providing water and encouraging kids to stay hydrated. Alfonso says teachers, staff, and coaches are trained to recognize signs of heat illness in students.
We want to encourage students and staff to be honest and to tell someone when they're not feeling well so we can get them the care that they need.
The district says all classrooms have air conditioning. Gyms, kitchens, restrooms, and locker rooms don't. Classes in non-air-conditioned portables might move to auditoriums or other spaces with air conditioning. The National Weather Service expects high temperatures to drop down to 80 degrees on Monday. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
SDG&E is gathering public feedback on its proposed high-voltage transmission line. Environment reporter Tammy Murga says the Golden Pacific Power Link is raising concerns about wildfire risks.
Residents huddled over poster boards at an open house at the Fallbrook Community Center. They mapped the 500-kilowatt line SDG&E wants to build. Fallbrook falls within the proposed route. That's where Carol Gibson lives.
It's difficult to get representation for the whole community. Residents really need to find out and see if it affects them.
Gibson says a 200-foot-tall transmission line puts communities at risk of wildfires. The project has a long way to go before being considered by state regulators. The utility's Alex Welling says regulators will also examine wildfire and other environmental risks.
They're going to be looking at every single aspect of this project, and they're going to weigh it against the feedback from the communities as well.
SDG&E is hosting two more open houses in Imperial Valley and Anza Borrego in October. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
The federal government has announced sharp cuts for California and two other states that rely on Colorado River water. Public Matters reporter Kevin Trevelin says our region appears well-positioned to weather the impacts.
The Interior Department says California, Arizona, and Nevada each need to use less water next year through 2028. That's while drought and rising temperatures continue to drain the Colorado River.
For California, it means giving up a big chunk of water.
Felicia Marcus is a visiting fellow at Stanford University and used to chair the California State Water Resources Control Board. She says local leaders have proactively supplemented the water supply here.
The folks in San Diego have recognized their vulnerability and invested, which frankly, as much as people complain about the cost is a pittance compared to the cost of inaction when the taps run dry.
The seawater desalination plant in Carlsbad supplies roughly a tenth of the region's drinking water, and the city of San Diego and other municipalities have pursued large-scale water recycling projects in recent years. The San Diego County Water Authority is actually oversupplied with water, which it sells to other agencies. Kevin Trevelin, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today, which was edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.